All right, thank you, Emil. Thank you, Leah. Thank you, Shine, Spectrum, parents, tech team, for making that happen. We are in a generous love series, and I love the practical examples. I love the ways that our youth and our children are engaging with this as well, and you at home as parents, and the whole family, whether you're single, whether you're married, whether you have kids or don't have kids, we all get to enter into this journey of generous love. And it does start with God's grace, as they reminded us. That's where we kicked off with this. Well, how do we do generous love in a time of COVID? How do we do that as a community? It has been a long season of COVID, and it will continue to be a long season of COVID. So how do we do generous love together? And I think our passage has something for us today as we dig in to the text. But before we do, let's pray. God, we do just invite your Holy Spirit afresh into this time. God, may the words of your Bible, God, speak to us today. May the words that we bring, God, may the songs that we bring, may the prayers that we bring, God, be worship to you, and may you speak to us the word that we need to hear this morning, Jesus. In your name, amen. So we're looking at John 13:35 as well as Acts 2:42 to 47. And I've asked Allison Wong to read our scripture today. Let's hear the reading of the word.
Of the New Testament. The first one is the book of John, chapter 13, verse 35. By this, everyone will know you're my disciples, if you love one another. And the second one is from the book of Acts, the second chapter, verses 42 to 47, the fellowship of believers. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Allison, for the reading of that. Let's unpack these scriptures to see what they meant back then, and then how can we apply them today? First, with John 13:35, it says, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples." Who is the everyone? Everyone in the world, those in the community, those outside the community, their ability to love one another was the proof that they were followers of Jesus. And that's an important place for us to start. How do we love one another in this season? Yesterday in the men's group, Conrad said it well. He said, you know, the Acts passage that we're looking at is really the application of how do we love, right? Because love is not just words. It's not just thoughts, and it's not just feelings. We have to put it into action. So let's see how the early church in Jerusalem put this into action themselves. Starting with verse 32, it says, they devoted themselves. Who is the they? These are the early followers of Christ. They're in Jerusalem. Pentecost had just happened. Some of these are just brand new believers to Christ. They're Jews that have gathered for the festivals in Jerusalem. They're hearing about Jesus. They're hearing about the need to turn to him. And so they devoted themselves to this way of life. In our Thursday group, somebody had mentioned in this passage, there's not a lot of me, right? It's we and it's they. You can see that this was a community and they were devoted to one another in it. And that's an important piece of what communities of Christ are to be about. Now, this verse gives us four marks of what they devoted themselves to. The first says to teaching, to the apostles' teaching. What was the apostles' teaching? It's very basic. It was really the essentials of the faith at that point, as we would talk about it, that Jesus Christ was Lord, that he was the Son of God, and that they were to believe in him. They were to repent and turn to him. This was the apostles' teaching, very simple types of phrases, but very life-changing when we grab a hold of the idea that we want Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They also devoted themselves to fellowship. And the word here in the Greek is koinonia. It's not just potlucks and sharing food. It was that they were on mission together. They shared a common purpose. How many of you are Lord of the Rings fans? If you are, just put it in the chat box there. I'd be curious to see. And I love it when you guys put things in the chat box because it allows me to see who's out there and there's a sense of family and connection. But I was a huge Lord of the Rings fan and Fellowship of the Rings. I mean, I've probably watched the whole trilogy probably 10 times. But this Fellowship of the Ring, that was the same word here that we're getting at. They shared a common purpose together. They went on mission together. They supported one another. So this is that second mark of the church. The third mark is the breaking of bread. And there's really a double meaning here. This is both communion and fellowship meals we see later in the passage. And we celebrate communion, right? Every week. This idea that the body of Christ, the blood of Christ, what he has done for us and what he is doing for us is a central tenet of our faith, and we continue to do that. And then finally, prayer and worship. And that's sort of self-explanatory. We are about this praising God. This is why we gather on a Sunday around a screen or in a building to praise God, to worship him. And we can worship throughout the week. We can pray throughout the week. But as a corporate body, we do this together. And then it goes on in verse 43 that everybody was filled with awe and there were wonders and signs. It was an incredible time of God's pouring out of the Holy Spirit. Miracles were quite common. And then verse 44, they shared everything in common. They sold their possessions. So this was the church in Jerusalem, right? We don't see this exact display of selling things in other places at that time, but there was a real hospitality there and a real caring for the needs of the people that were in their community. Some had traveled to Jerusalem for the festivals and they had stayed on and they had incredible need. And you can see the togetherness, the devotion to one another that this church is displaying, and it's admirable. Verse 46, they continued to meet together in the temple, in each other's homes. That's a hard part for us today, as we're in our homes, that we can meet virtually online, and so this is an important part of what we do. In verse 47, they worshiped and praised God, enjoying the favor of all the people. And this isn't just the people in their community. This ties back to John 13, where everybody could see their love. And the same for this church in Jerusalem. Those on the outside were attracted to this. They could see, wow, these people really care for each other. And then who added to their number? It was the Lord that did the adding, right? That is his work. And we invite that work into our community as well. Now, each church at each time in each location needs to wrestle through what it does mean to be church. How are they to contextualize the gospel? How are they to be community to one another? I love this quote from theologian. I was reading this last week. He said, "The incarnation did not result in a new book of theology or a code of ethics. It results in a new community." Right? The New Testament would come later. But Jesus came to form a new community, to form his followers as disciples of himself. See, we were made for community. Back in Genesis 1:31, it talks about being made in the image of God. And we represent that image best when we are in community, as the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, was in community. That's our reflection of the image of God. When we are doing life together, we are his image bearers. Many of you know my story of coming back to God, and I won't go into that whole story, but part of my coming back to God was my resistance to God, but also resistance to the community. And I would go in to youth group and just cross my arms and really kind of shake my fist at God and the community and say, just try to reach me. And God did, but primarily through the community. They were the hands and feet that reached out to me. They were the words of encouragement that began to speak into my heart. This is how God has intended us to do church, to do it together with one another. And so how do we do that? This is not an easy season to be in community, right? I've done churches in a lot of places, and maybe you have too, but none of us have ever done church in a pandemic. It's new for all of us, and so how do we do this in this time and in this place? I would start by just be kind to one another. Be kind to yourself. The normal things that we might be connecting with are not here or taken away, and it's harder to connect. So start with much grace for yourself as we started this series about God's grace. Don't beat yourself up too much about maybe goals you couldn't accomplish, things you couldn't do. Remember God's grace in this season, and remember it for one another as well. So I would say bring your kindness. May that be an expression of your love for one another in this season. But I would also say, don't underestimate how God might minister to you through the community. Going to that Zoom life group or going in person if you're able to in a home can be challenging right now as the weeks go on. But God might minister to you in that time. I've been ministered to time and time again. But also don't underestimate how God might use you to minister to somebody else. It might be a listening ear. It might be sharing of a verse. It might be through prayer. God will minister to you, and he will use you to minister to others, maybe especially in this time of COVID. So be devoted to one another, as this passage tells us. How do we do this four marks of the church today? How do we do this during COVID? The first thing that they devoted themselves was to the teaching, and that's an important part of what we do right now. We do it here, and at Community Church, we proclaim those essentials of the faith. We're an inclusive community where we camp out on these essentials of who we are. Sundays online together. Many of you watch during the services, whether it's 9:30 or 11:30, but some of you watch Sunday afternoon, Sunday night, a time that's convenient. Continue to participate in what God would be speaking to you. And in life groups. Life groups is really a time to apply the things that you're hearing, whether it's in a sermon or if you're going through Right Now Media curriculum or if it was Emotional Healthy Church. Starting in Land, we're going to have all of our groups go through the one curriculum, and it's a time to go deeper into those things. So we can still do this. Sometimes it's virtually, but it's still an important part of what we do. Next is fellowship, this koinonia, this togetherness. And as a church, we're a church family. When we left Los Angeles to come to here, I wanted a family for my church. I wanted this to be my community. I wanted aunties and uncles for my kids. And it has been that these past 13 years. And I want that for everybody. I want this to be family. We've already talked about we're celebrating our 24th birthday today. And so we've invited you to share some of your photos and some of your words. So let's see those now today, church.
Happy birthday, Community Church!
Hi, I'm Grace, and one word to describe Community Church is diverse.
Diverse.
Community Church for me means people.
Gender.
Warm.
Food.
Hey, this is Paul and Marilee, and our word for Community Church is...
Home.
Family.
Family. Family.
Hi, I'm Alex, and one word to describe Community Church is supportive.
Belonging.
Cool.
Diversity.
It's welcoming.
Gospel-centered.
Welcoming family.
Happy birthday, Community Church! Woo-hoo.
Happy birthday, Community Church, indeed. It was great to see so many faces and photos all the way back from the beginning at 1997. So we are family together. And we're also go out two by two, right? We have two-person restrictions in public right now. Make use of that as you are able and as you are comfortable, whether that's a coffee with somebody, a meal, whether that's a Zoom call where you connect over online. But stay connected, church, in whatever way possible. Remember that Jesus sent out his disciples two by two, and whether two or three are gathered, he is with you. And so these micro communities are a way for us to continue fellowship. Of course, life groups are a key part of who we are and how we do life together. And whether that's in person or on Zoom, continue to be there for one another, looking out for one another, praying for one another, and investing into one another. This is an important way for us to encourage each other. I know some of you, this is a hard time. You're tired. It's, you know, when is this going to end? And having a community around you to be with you, they can't solve the problem, but they can make sure you're not journeying it alone, is such an important thing to have in this time. If you're not connected to a community you want to be, we welcome you to connect. Email Pastor Brenda or myself, the church office, and we'd love to sit down with you, talk over Zoom, or get you connected in any way that we can in this time. Also outreach. We've had communities do outreach together in small numbers often, but reaching real needs in the community. And so we want to be about that. You can go to our website. You can see updates on there as we're able to serve in the community. Communion. How do we do that in this season? Well, not here in this place, unless you're here putting on the service, so it's smaller numbers. But I would encourage you in this time to actually partake of communion each week. We've been able to be creative when I'm at home sometimes for a service, and we'll use whatever we can. It's a tortilla, a cracker, a piece of bread, an English muffin. If we have wine or juice or Ribena sometimes. The elements aren't so much important, but what you use for those elements, but that we know that God's grace is in this. And we all need God's grace in this season. Be creative in how you partake of them. Maybe having, if you're with more than one person when you have communion, maybe serve each other that meal as an act of service. As Christ serves us, we can serve one another. And finally, prayer and worship. We have a prayer ministry here, and each Sunday from 10:30 to 11:15, we've got our Zoom prayer rooms. Julie and Mako are leading our prayer ministry. They're also setting up monthly and sometimes fortnightly prayer gatherings via Zoom. Prayer is an important sort of the spiritual engine of the church, and we want to invite you to those times. And worship is really our time of connecting, whether it's in life groups, whether it's on Sunday. It's our response to God. We can be praying for each other. We can be praying one-on-one with each other. And, you know, we're doing church differently, but we are still the church. We are still the church. We are a family together, worshiping God in new ways, in creative ways. And if I'm honest, I struggle with this online thing at times. It hasn't been easy for me. I miss seeing people. And God has been gracious. Yeah, last week I was out running on the trail and I ran into two of our people from our church. And they were like, "Hey, Pastor Wade." And then I was down at the waterfront and somebody else saw Erica and I and Cody, and we were able to have a connection there. This online, this virtual space is going to be with us for a while, but we can invest in ways that we can still be the church together. And I would encourage you in this season to do that. It is not easy. We do grow weary in doing it, but hold on to God in this even more. Don't do it in your own strength, church. in our worship experience, sometimes it can be challenging to not be together. And a couple weeks ago, I was kind of having my own little pity party and missing having all of you here. But I was reminded that I get to be here, actually, each Sunday. And I have not many people here, but some people. But God was also nudging my heart and saying, why is it you worship anyway? Is it because you have all the people around? Is it because of the warm feelings you get? And I had to pause. Would I let little challenges thwart my worship of God? No, He is worthy to be praised. No matter the distraction, no matter the distance, no matter the medium, He is worthy to be praised. And it was just time for me to slow down and say, yeah, God, whatever the medium, I want to worship You today. This also gives us a season to be creative. We, of course, don't want distractions in our worship, but we get to be creative as we worship God together, and we have a creative worship expression for you in just a moment. And we've asked Charlotte to dance to a worship song for us today, and Anita's going to do a brief introduction of this, but I would encourage you to worship in this time.